Hello and welcome to the Go Home Show podcast. I'm Michael Henson, and today we've got a very special treat for you as we speak to Hall of Famer Mick Foley about that Hell in a Cell match against Undertaker at King of the Ring 1998. How are you today, Mick?
I'm doing good, thank you.
We'll start with that night in June 1998. What was the atmosphere like prior to the match beginning?
It was an eerie... there was a lot on the line. People had seen one Hell in a Cell match before. Actually, done a very short cell match to promote the match of me and Undertaker. But you know, it was very short. It was a tag team match, and no one remembers. So we felt like we had a lot to live up to, and I started the match in a way that I thought would make it memorable. But the atmosphere was, I would describe it as ominous. Like, people knew my reputation for taking chances. And I think people thought anything could happen here, but I don't think anybody expected, expected the match to start on top of the Cell to go back up there. I think we exceeded everyone's expectations there.
One thing that you mentioned in WWE Untold on the WWE Network was that Mr. McMahon asked you prior to the match if you'd been at the top of the Cell before, and you lied and said you had. Did you regret that once you were up there when you were starting the match?
Well, I regretted it that night because I was terrified. If I had ever gone up on top of the Cell in the afternoon, you guys wouldn't be talking to me, 22 years after the fact, because we would have had a good match, but nothing memorable. So I regretted it that night, but the fact that we are talking about it 22 years after it took place, I think is a pretty good indication that, we accomplished something special that night, both with what I'd planned and what, went wrong and was completely unplanned.
There's a famous JR quote from the match when you get chucked off the cell roof by Undertaker, and it is, "Good God Almighty, they've killed him. As God is my witness, they've broken him in half." Can you describe that experience of being thrown off Hell in a Cell, what your memories are of that, if there are any at all?
If I had ever gone up on top of the Cell earlier in the day, as I assured Mr. McMahon I had, we wouldn't be having this phone call, because I never would have gotten back up on top of the Cell that evening. I was terrified. I was so glad that when I read Chris Jericho's autobiography, he mentioned that he had wanted to do something off the top of the Cell, but when he looked down, the people looked like ants. And then he said, "I'm not exaggerating, they looked like ants." And I thought to myself, that's exactly what they look like. They look like ants. Like, I couldn't believe how ridiculously high off the ground we were. And I was absolutely terrified. I thought it was the worst idea I'd ever had in my life. But the fact that we're still talking about it 22 years after the fact, and that I would say half the people, not half, but 30 to 40% of the people who asked me about that match weren't even born when it took place. So it's been literally passed down to future generations, and I imagine it'll be passed down to the future generations after this.
Do you have any regrets about the match?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I would say I don't want to sell. I could think it may have shortened my career. It was definitely the point from which I believed in my own mortality. So everything was different following that Cell match, for sure. I don't have any regret. I mean, I have small regrets about some things I did later in my career. But no, I don't regret starting that match up on top of the Cell. I mean, things did not work out like I had hoped. And the Cell collapsing when I was chokeslammed still has fallout for me. I just paid $425 U.S. for a new bottom flipper, which are false teeth, for the teeth that were knocked out in that Cell. And I'll have to pay another $15,000 or so to get those teeth fixed. So I'm still aware of that match every single day. But it really touched people and continues to touch people who weren't even born when the match took place. So in that case, no regrets about the battles I had in the Cell.
Not many people talk about it, but you got back into Hell in a Cell just 2 months later to face Kane on Raw. How did you find that experience?
That was a really good one. Kane and I had, I thought, a really good Cell match. And The Undertaker had become the bad guy by then. I remember him pulling me down from halfway up on the Cell. And I had a very rough landing on the table. That was pretty, the word we use is ominous, because I was revisiting a scene of what was in some ways my greatest success, but also in some ways my greatest failure. So I was saying in an earlier interview that I'm still dealing with that match. Just 2 days ago, I had to go to the dentist to get my, my false teeth, replaced, and that, I believe, my fellow wrestler, Dr. Britt Baker, is going to be doing the actual reconstruction work. So 22 years after the bag, I'm still living with the fallout from that match.
Finally, this Sunday at Hell in a Cell, we see three huge matches taking place. But which one should be the main event?
Oh, man, that's a good point. I always thought the main event was what the fans, you know, decide it is, even if it's after the fact. So I always told superstars not to let your spot on the card dictate to you how important the match is, because every match on the card, and especially the three Cell matches, are going to try to steal the show. My guess is that Roman and Jay will go on last because it's something completely different. But any match is a main event in my eyes.
Thanks for taking the time to speak to us today, Mick. And a reminder, you can watch Hell in a Cell this Sunday on the WWE Network from 12 a.m.